Hi everyone. Because this podcast went for quite a while, we're going to break it up into two parts. So this is the first part of the first episode of our season two. Bullshit. Yes, we're back. Season two of the Fine Leg to Fine Leg podcast. Welcome back, everyone. Hey, Nico. How you going?
I'm going fantastic. How are you going, Jim?
I'm going all right, yeah.
I'm super keen to get this podcast back and up and running.
So am I, because we've got a few... we've been throwing around a few new ideas and we've put together a few new segments for the potty, and I'm very excited to get them up and running.
Yep, so am I.
Let's kick it off with the fines.
I reckon we should too.
All right. We'll kick it off with Gladys. Gladys Berejiklian for being a flog.
Yep. We don't mean to get political, but like, she's just been an absolute flog.
It's just flog. Yep. Okay. Done.
Yeah.
Right, I feel like the selectors are in here every time we do fines, but there's always something wrong with the squad. And this time it's in the white ball squad. Daniel Sams has been, he got picked and has been kept in the white ball squad. And we just hate him. I just hate him.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him.
I don't rate him at all. He's been picked based on BBL form. Sorry, ZDL form.
Which is the biggest nuffy T20 competition.
Yep. Although I do have higher expectations for it this year. We'll get to that later. The Vics have dropped Gotchi for the last Shield game as of this recording. They dropped Gotchi despite his...
Doing nothing.
He did nothing.
But there was nothing for him to do. That's the thing.
There was nothing. He didn't do anything. He just kept and rocked the floppy and the long sleeve, which is elite. Yeah. And they still dropped him for Harper, which I don't understand at all.
Yeah, unless Gotcha was injured, just, but there wasn't anything about that.
No,
so.
It just wasn't. All right, this one's for South Australia. So they're having a little bit of a crisis at the moment.
Yeah.
And... So, basically, there's this guy named Ben Pengelly, who was on their contract list last season, and has for a few seasons before that. Last season, he made 734 runs at an average of 61, and took 31 wickets in 12 games in South Australia grade cricket, and got cut from a state who hasn't had an all-rounder in over a decade.
Or a genuine good player.
Well, Cam Valente doesn't count.
Yeah, Cameron Valente hasn't played in ages.
He doesn't. He's just not good enough to play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, South Australia, what are you doing? Come on. Melbourne Stars are next.
Yep.
Trading Daniel Worrell for Billy Stanlake, and I just cannot comprehend how that is an even trade. Because we've traded a very good opening bowler for just a bloke who bowls 90 mile an hour party pies. Do you disagree?
I mean, I think with Frankie Roll's injuries, possibly it might be a better trade, but Billy Stanlake hasn't really done much since that one good season. He had one good season, played for Australia, didn't do any good there.
Now all he does is open the bowling and go for 10 and over.
Yeah.
Consistently.
So I feel kind of sorry for Stanlake because he went all the way to UAE, did all the quarantine and everything to play in the IPL, and the Sunrisers didn't pick him for any game.
Mm.
Bit stiff on that.
Yeah, that is a bit stiff, but... Yeah. All right.
Last fine.
Okay. So during this week...
Mark Steckety.
That we are recording this.
Mark Steckety.
Callum Ferguson decided to retire from first-class cricket, and fair enough, he's been a bit out of form. It's probably the right time for him to go. He was on 97 in his second innings, in his last innings. And Mark Steckety just decides to trundle in, bowl one on the stumps. The Ferg misses it, goes out LBW. Steckety, this is the biggest fine we've ever given out. Not like we have a quantity or anything, but Mark...
$1 million.
Mark... What are you doing?
Mark, you owe us $100 million. Mark. Actually, also the umpire. I want to find the umpire. Can we find the umpire as well?
The umpire's just doing his job, but it's Mark's fault.
I know, but like...
You can find the umpire if you want.
Yeah, umpire, you owe us a few bucks as well.
But Mark... Buddy Mark Steckety!
Jimmy's fed up. He's not happy.
This is a bloke that spent 18 years in South Australia's domestic setup, has put his heart and soul into that cricket team.
And only got one test for it.
Got one test on a patch of lawn down in Hobart against the South Africans. So he never stood a chance. And you get him out for 97 in his last innings. You couldn't even let him get 100, Mark.
Prick.
All right. Well, that wraps up the fines.
On to the news.
There is some good news, especially for Australia.
Yep.
And that is that Virat Kohli is only going to be playing one test match.
Yes.
During the upcoming test series.
For the birth of his child.
Now, this is obviously very good for Australia. As much as we hate Kohli, he's a good player. He's okay.
He's decent.
He's okay. But does this put more pressure on Australia to actually go on and win? Because what if we don't win, I guess, is the...
Yeah.
Well, because India are losing a lot of players for this upcoming tour. Rohit Sharma's not coming over. I think, was it Ashwin?
Oh, I'm not sure.
They've got a few big players out for this.
I think was Ishant Sharma.
Oh, Ishant Sharma, that's the one. Yes.
Ishant Sharma wasn't coming.
So, yeah, it's
big. Yeah, so ultimately, I mean, I said last year that this was going to be bigger than an Ashes series because it's the first India vs Australia series with Smith and Warner back. We've come off a loss in the series last time they came over.
Mm.
So there's a lot of hype for this, I think, and with it being one of the first massive sort of sporting events in Australia coming back.
Well, Kohli's just decided to prove you wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously, because Indians aren't going to be as invested in it as they would have been if Kohli was playing all four... Is it four tests? I think it's four tests.
Yeah, four tests.
So, it'll be an interesting series.
Yeah.
With India not having Kohli, because we're so used to seeing India and Kohli.
King Kohli. Just signs everywhere.
Pretty much. All right, well, we'll talk more about the test series later. We'll get on to some of the ZDL signings that have happened in the past few weeks. Kicking it off with quite an odd one. Mornay Morkel, who has moved to Australia, has signed for the Brisbane Heat as a local player.
Yeah.
Which is a huge pickup for them.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to use one of their overseas player spots. But, yeah. He's been living in Australia for a couple of years now, living down in Sydney. And
yeah, I think it's... Like, ever since his test retirement, I think BBL...
He moved.
Yeah, I think BBL
teams have been... And it was on his mind,
yeah. Because I think the first couple of years, he was a bit... Didn't want to sign for a BBL team just yet.
He might have also been waiting for citizenship, obviously.
Yeah.
As well, because that
or
takes...
permanent residency.
Or whatever it is that you need to qualify as a local player.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's not the first time, because there was Johan
Botha.
Johan,
did it.
Yeah.
Maybe a decade ago now. And played in South Australian side for a while. From memory, I don't remember anyone else doing it.
Who's that New Zealand bloke? Is it Somerville?
Well, Somerville did it, yes.
Yeah, because he played for New South Wales for a bit.
Mm. New South Wales, and I think he played a little bit of Big Bash, but not too much. Another local signing, this time for the Renegades, Josh Layla.
Yeah.
As a Renegades fan, what are your thoughts on this, Nico?
I'm happy with it, because I think we definitely need a massive improvement on our bowling stocks from last season. I think, thinking about it, like when we won two seasons ago, I reckon that was a lucky season for us because we had our players playing at their best quality. Like, you see Dan Christian had a breakout season, and the season after, the season just gone, he didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, breakout's probably not the right word for a 36-year-old, but
that's true, but a note to puzzle.
It's a good pickup. Josh Lytle is getting older, but he still brings that experience to,
good,
I think, relatively young bowling attack that you've got at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he'll probably be good with maybe Kane Richardson in the first four overs or so when the ball can still move a bit.
And at the death as well. He's a very good death bowler as well. Got a good Yorker. Sam Billings is coming back.
Yeah.
But not to the Sydney Sixers this time.
Instead, to the rivals.
To the rivals. Sydney Thunder.
Yeah.
Which should be interesting. Him and Alex Hales has come back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, should be good to see. Actually, I don't really like the Thunder, to be honest. I don't typically dislike that many ZDL teams, but the Sydney Thunder, I just don't like them. Daniel Sams doesn't help.
Yeah.
There's Arjun there.
I mean, I liked them when they had Hussey and Khawaja playing, but yes.
Yeah, that was right, but yeah. Just something about them. Maybe it's the stadium as well.
Yeah.
Playing at bloody giant stadium.
And maybe Mark Waugh just supporting them all the time.
Oh, Mark Waugh supporting him in the commentary box. That we've had this argument before where I said that commentators have to be unbiased, and that's why I hate Mark Waugh so much, because he supports Sydney Thunder when he's on commentary.
Even when they're just like 9 for 80 or something like that, chasing 150. Yeah.
But yeah.
It's all, they've still got a chance.
Come on, Mark. Be professional, buddy.
They have to make 36 runs in 5 balls. They got a chance.
Yeah. Now, I have told Nico that I was a Melbourne Stars fan, but now I think I'm just going to be more of a casual observer with a keen interest in the Stars. However, I am a little bit more optimistic for them this season because they have signed Johnny Bairstow and Nicholas Pooran. Two very, very good batsmen to play at the top of the order. We've had struggles in the past few seasons. Maddinson just never really got going at the Stars. Dunk hasn't done anything at the Stars. Gotchie's just not a T20 player. Cartwright can only do so much, but yeah. To build that around Maxwell and Stoinis. And we've got Pekowski as well, who's... don't really know how he's going to go in T20.
Yeah, you don't know, but he, I mean, he's in form, so I guess it's like runs is runs, I guess, no matter what format.
He's a really, like really good player to watch.
Yeah.
Even in the longer format. If you sit and watch him for the 3 overs, you'll be entertained. He plays some really good shots. Hasn't had a lot of success in one-day cricket so far. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how he does actually go in T20s.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because you'd probably have him as an opener in that Stars team in the T20s because you got the field up and he's very good at picking the gaps in that sort of sense.
Possibly. Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see where he slots in. If he's not playing test matches.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because you pretty much got your opener set with Bairstow and Stoinis, you'd think. Mm.
Bairstow and Stoinis are open. I think that's a non-negotiable.
And Pooran and Maxwell, three and or four spot.
Pooran, I think, will bat number 5, if anything, actually. Maxwell will stay at number 4 and someone will...
maybe Larkin?
Larkin or Pekowski, or maybe someone like Hilton Cartwright or even Maddinson, maybe, if they back him in at number 3.
Yeah, I think he probably just got a bit stiff with Maddinson because he was very good with the Sixers, but then literally as soon as he played...
he was just trying too hard to hit the ball last season.
And then, but as soon as he played his few test matches, did stuff all there...
yeah.
And he got him after his bad form in the test matches, and then he did nothing in the Big Bash.
Yeah. Last season, he just looked like he was trying to hit the ball too hard. He's just trying to force everything.
Yeah.
Nothing was really working for him. And, you know, cricket's a game where you have those sort of seasons or those stretches of form where nothing really clicks.
Yeah.
I think that's what we saw last season.
I think, not going to lie, I think Steve Smith's a prime example of that because... in the IPL, he didn't do much at all. Like, his side finished last, even with blokes like Stokes and Butler in the side, and him, and Smith didn't do anything, really, in that side.
Yeah, I think Smith is an example of that to the nth degree, because you cannot get him out, or he's not on, and his form can be a little bit dodgy, as we saw last summer in the test series after
Yeah.
Having that massive series.
Yeah, after the Ashes and then in against then New Zealand and...
Didn't. Although he didn't have much to do. Warner and Marnus were on fire, obviously, but didn't have much to do against either New Zealand or...
Pakistan.
Pakistan, no.
In the T20s, he was all right. The international T20s, yeah. He was good, but... Yeah, he seems to be a pretty prime example of how he can go from that stretch or that series of out just of form. That
big purple patch and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Perth Scorchers have just loaded up their top order.
Yeah.
They've already... They've retained Liam Livingston.
Yeah, who was... England. He didn't have a good start with them last season.
But he did get going and he looked very good. He's very good hitter of the ball. Can hit sixes a very long way.
Mm-hmm.
As can another man that they've signed to bat at the top of the order, Jason Roy.
Yeah, Calvino. He started at the
previously sixes. Was at the sixes, and I think he had a... I think he had a spell at the Thunder, but I can't...
Was it?
Yes, he did. He was there at the Thunders, the Thunder for a season, sixes for a couple of seasons, and then... Now he's at the Scorchers. But he's gotten a lot better since we last saw him in the ZDL.
Last time he played against Australia, he got out for a golden duck. Was it an ODI? Yeah, in the ODI.
Yeah, that's right. Starkey cleaned him up.
Yeah, that was when Stark was on a hat-trick in the third ball of the game. That was
a very nice, very good match, that one.
Yeah.
As well as Colin Munro.
Yeah, the New Zealand.
Who some people might not know, but he was ranked as the number one T20 international batsman for quite a while in the past few years and should... Usually an opener, but probably slotting at number four.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Livingston, I think, will bat at three. They'll keep Inglis and Roy at the top.
Yeah, you got to keep Inglis, I think.
Because, yeah, Inglis is a very good player, regardless of...
That's going to be a very interesting side and a very loaded side with their batters because they're going to have Bancroft, Marsh coming.
Got Bancroft, Marsh, or Mitch Marsh, obviously, not Sean Marsh.
Yeah.
And... Who was the other bloke I talked about before?
And they've got blokes like Cameron Green.
Cameron Green, yes. They still got him, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's going to be a rough side.
This one I'm very excited about, actually. Yeah. He is currently the number one T20 international batsman in the world, and that is Dove Milan from England. We're getting a lot of English imports over.
Yeah.
Which
I'm not fussed about, one bit.
Which is absolutely awesome. Nothing against the Pakistanis, but there's... Can be a few obscure players.
Although it's quite interesting because some of them have to play test matches at the start, I think.
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of replacement players as well, who are also English.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dove Milan should be awesome to watch, especially with playing alongside Darcy Short and Matthew Wade and Ben McDermott, blokes like that. Should be very entertaining to watch the Kane train this season.
Yeah.
Brisbane Heat have retained Tom Banton, who I very much liked the look of last season before he got called up to the England side.
Didn't get called up to England side. I think AB de Villiers just took his spot.
Yeah, that's why the two players were stupid. They have brought in three players this year. They're allowed three players in one side.
They're allowed four in the squad and then three to play.
They're actually allowed to sign six. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's four in the squad and then three in the 11 now, I think.
Yeah, they're allowed to play three in the 11 and they're allowed to sign up to six.
Okay.
So, yeah. Alex Gregory's another one. Probably many people won't know him, but all-rounder on the fringes of the England side. Seen a few highlights of him in the Vitality Blast, which is a very good T20 competition get on YouTube, watch some highlights of that because
that's the English T20 comp and it's
the English version of the Big Bash if you like, but it's a lot better. Yeah. It's very good, very high standard. All right, Nico, you can handle this one.
So the Renegades have made two new international signings. We've re-signed Mohammad Nabi. We got Riley Russo, which is a South African batter who's, I think, pretty good.
He doesn't play for South Africa anymore because he's...
Retired, I think.
No, he pissed off to England on a Coal Pack registration, so he's not allowed to play for South Africa anymore.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know about that, but yeah. And the ones that I'm not too keen on, oh, one of them I'm not too keen on, Imran Tahir, who's 40-odd now.
Yeah, you just hate him for some reason, don't you?
I just think he's a bit of a flog. I just think he's a bit of a flog, and...
I don't really have an opinion either way, but yeah.
And like... I don't think we need him, because we've got Cameron Boyce, who, you know, isn't, like, he's not, like, the best leg spinner going around.
But he's handy.
But he has been handy for us in the past two seasons. So I think to get Imran Tahir
is just... I think, again, what they're looking for is just a bit of experience, really.
Yeah, which is... I don't know if we need that in the form of Imran Tahir, but...
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Yeah. And we got...
the other one's interesting, yeah.
The other one interesting, a 15-year-old fast bowler from Afghanistan, Noor Ahmed.
We'll see how he goes, I guess.
I don't know if he'll play. It's interesting because... A 15-year-old in the Big Bash. I don't...
Yeah, I don't know. We've seen Nassim Shah.
That's like Nassim Shah playing...
Pakistan. Yeah. He's 16. 15 years old. Makes me think, well, what have I been doing with my life? Jeez.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a bit wary because a 15-year-old fast bowler, say if he's bowling like 140 clicks, his shoulder's probably going to pop out.
They have to be.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's no way they would have signed him.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a bit worrisome because... You'd think, like, he hasn't developed much yet, so his shoulder could burst at any moment.
He's got virtually no experience as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, be very interesting.
I mean, unless, you know, he's just taking Finch's off stump every training session, then...
Well...
You know...
He's obviously been signed for a reason.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got some talent about him.
There's just some scouts in... Maybe Muhammad Nabi just said, hey, I've seen this kid, and he's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe. Well, perhaps, maybe. Yeah.
And
we'll just take a moment, moment of silence to pay our respects to Richard Gleeson, who has departed the Big Bash after two very eventful years.
Was it two?
Moment of silence, Nick. Sorry. Alright, that's enough of that.
Good riddance, flog.
Alright.
Absolute dud.
Alright, let's get on to reviewing.
Had no heart for the Renegades at all, honestly. What, trying to watch him bowl, when he played against Glenn Maxwell, when he was on fire at the G, he's just like, oh, have this full toss at your waist and see what you do with it. Oh, you sent it in the third tier? Oh, silly me.
Richard Gleeson, I will miss you.
I f*** won't.
No.
I'm gonna delete that.